Transportation to order on February the 16th, 2005. I welcome everybody here this afternoon. Going to open a first on our agenda will be a public hearing on Senate Bill 487, and I will open the public hearing on Senate Bill 487. And Judith, I also need if there are any names that we have for testimony.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think I can guess.
Do you sign?
Sure, I will.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Senate Bill 487 extends the period of validity of driver's licenses, vehicle registrations, and registration plates for members of the Oregon National Guard or military reservists ordered on active duty to locations outside the United States. That extension would go to 90 days following the termination of that active duty. We have received a no fiscal impact statement on the measure. We have received from the Revenue Office a potential revenue impact on state and local revenues. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, Judith. All right. I see President Courtney has joined us, and perhaps he'd like to come up to the table.
The president's starting to make this a habit.
I know. Don't say that, Rick. I was just saying, you're going to get tired of me being here.
Welcome, Senator Courtney.
Thank you, Chair Berger, and members of the Senate Transportation Committee. I'm Peter Courtney. I'm a state senator, District 11. And I live at 2925 Island View Drive North, Salem, 97303. It's the shortest testimony I've ever given. I'm here today speaking in support of Senate Bill 487. This is a very simple bill. As you know, thousands of Oregon National Guards persons and military service have been called to federal active duty since September 11, 2001. Thousands have been or are currently deployed overseas for many months at a time. This bill is intended to spare these men and women the inconvenience of returning home and then being immediately cited because their driver's license or vehicle registration expired while they were overseas. This bill provides that if a license or registration would otherwise expire while a guards person or reservist was on active duty and deployed outside the United States, then the validity of the license registration is extended for a period of 90 days following the termination of active duty status. I am not aware that this has been a widespread problem, but I have heard that there have been instances. Even if these instances are few and far between, this is a reasonable safeguard that should exist in the law. Thank you for letting me come here today and testify in support of Senate Bill 487.
President Courtney, I want to make a comment, and in this in no way is to embarrass you. But I am so pleased to see your leadership for the people in our military. You have an opportunity that's open to a lot of people in leadership that they can be the kind of leader that other people will fall behind in the support of our troops, that a lot of people will ignore because they think everybody else is doing it. And so we have a kind of apathy. And I think that that has happened in other, in another war that we had in the United States, and perhaps that's been a lesson to us. But for those people in leadership, and I include others as well, and including the Senate President, it really is heartening to me to see them take a real firm stand in trying to make things better for the military and for their families who have actually not been treated as fairly as they should have been. And so I'll take this public opportunity to thank you for that, not only for Senate Bill 487, but for the other bills that we've heard and you've testified very, very passionately on in your support of the military.
Thank you very much, Senator.
All right. We have someone else here that would like to testify on this bill. Colonel Mike Caldwell. Welcome, Colonel.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much. For the record, I'm Colonel Mike Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department, and hopefully my testimony will be shorter than the Senate President's, but we really appreciate the fact that the good Senator and other members of this body have seen fit to do exactly what you eloquently stated earlier. And this bill, as the Senator indicated, is not going to affect a good deal, a whole large number of people, but it will be a few here and there. And I think it's extremely important that these folks are coming home with a lot on their mind and a lot of things to reintegrate. And this is a very good piece of legislation. So if something does occur while they're away, that they don't get in trouble the minute they get back. And I think it's very thoughtful and a very good piece of legislation. I highly recommend that you pass it along, and we wholeheartedly support it.
Thank you very much. I can't think of anything worse than coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan and having served, not allowed to come home when your term was up, but kept over. And the first thing you do is realize that you need a new driver's license and being told that you we're sorry, but you're really out of compliance here in the state of Oregon. So I don't know how many things need fixing, but if they need fixing, I hope that you will be sure to be the one on the front line telling us that it needs to be fixed.
Yes, ma'am. As soon as we get to any kind of any issue like that, regulatory issue, we will hurriedly come down and look for resolutions. And we've had a little experience so far.
Any questions of the Colonel? All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Any comments before I close the public hearing from the committee? Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 487, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 487. Senator Whitson.
Do you want me to move it?
Just move it to the floor.
Chair Berger, I move Senate Bill 487 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Whitsett moves Senate Bill 487 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? If not, clerk, please call the roll.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Pazansky? Senator Scott?
Aye.
Senator Whitsett?
Aye.
Chair Berger?
Aye.
I learned quick.
Very good.
We'll tell you what you voted on in a moment.
We have a next agenda. I'm going to have work sessions. We need a carrier. Yes, for the bill that we just passed. Senator Metz. I'm going to open a work session on a couple of these bills, but there are a couple of them that one is not ready, Senate Bill 448. So I'm not going to be opening a work session on that. If there's anyone in the audience that wanted to testify on that, we'll be probably having another public hearing on that bill because there are going to be some amendments, I believe.
Very good, yes.
All right. All right, let's open the work session on Senate Bill 76. Judith?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Senate Bill 76 allows any parent or legal guardian of a person under 18 years of age to request cancellation of driving privileges of that person. It eliminates the statutory authority for a signature from an employer for the purpose of making that person eligible for driving privileges. We have received a no revenue impact statement and a minimal fiscal impact on the measure. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Senator Whitsett.
Mr. Berger, I move Senate Bill 76 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Whitsett moves Senate Bill 76 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair,
yes.
I feel like I need to put something on the record. We had some discussion about this. What I remember from this, either parent can move to have the license, suspended or revoked. And the only concern I have is that if you find the parents to be in some type of a custodial arrangement where one has full custody and the other has visitation, if for some reason they were, I mean, they could actually penalize the child or the young person based on having problems within that arrangement or whatever. It just seems to me that, and maybe this, I know that from what I understand, this is maybe current law now, and maybe it's not a problem, but I just want to put on the record, it just seems to me that you could potentially see a young person who's doing everything right, but somehow becomes the pawn in some type of a squabble between two former spouses.
I echo Senator Kozanski's concerns in your account. I would not be able to support this bill for that reason.
I wonder if I might call Robin Freeman to the table. Let's clarify this
Madam
before
Chair.
We move forward. Yeah.
I didn't hear what Senator Whitsitt just said.
I would just, Senator Starr, I would just echo Senator Kozanski's concerns, and that as written, I would not be able to support the bill.
Okay, thank you.
Robin.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Robin Freeman with the Department of Transportation. Those are valid concerns. These are emotional issues sometimes. The reason we're forwarding this legislation at this time is because we have situations where we have children, and I believe a story I was told that started all this is we had a child that was involved in drugs and out of control. The mother had financial responsibility for this person and custody of this person, and she would leave and take the car and be gone for days. If she got in an accident, no matter what she did, this person was responsible for her. She was worried about her safety. She was worried about the financial situation. So I understand your concern. Those are valid. But currently, we need to be able, or we would like to be able to have the parent that has the financial responsibility for the child and the responsibility for their safety to be able to withdraw consent if necessary. And that needs to be either parent.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, I think we're all on the same page. From the example you just gave us, I know myself, and I think Senator Whitsitt would also agree that we'd have no problem with the parent who has the quote-unquote financial responsibility, but more so the custodial responsibility of this child to make that decision as compared to the spouse or the parent who does not have, only has visitation. And that's my concern, is that you could have the spouse, he or she, who a limitation to that child is to have the right to visit, making a decision that really I think the custodial parent should have the sole obligation or opportunity to take that type of step. And it would seem to me that we could write the provision that and that would protect DMV, that if a parent who has custodial authority over the child wanted to do that, they would just have to demonstrate to you through court papers that they have the custodial responsibility of that child, as compared to the parent who may have a financial obligation to pay child support but does not have the luxury benefit or responsibility to take care of that child and have that child living with them on a day-in and day-out basis.
Okay. Madam Chair, Senator Brzezinski, we will work with the committee to, you know, amend this in any way that we can get to where we need to go.
I prefer you to do that. When we have, we're a small committee. We have two people with a serious concern, perhaps others, that would be a lot more comfortable with the bill. And so I would think that it needs to either be relieved of these concerns or not.
I'll come and work with the senator.
Right. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 78, and I will move to Senate Bill 178. I will now open a work session on Senate Bill 178. Judith?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Senate Bill 178 allows a person to provide training or education in the driving of motor vehicles without a commercial driving training school certificate or a driver training instructor certificate if the person provides limited education or training for specialized purposes. We have received a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact on the measure. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Judith, I believe that this was, can you give me the example that they brought to us on this and refresh the committee's memory?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the example they brought was, for example, police training, other policemen in maneuvering our strategies to drive that would to capture somebody perhaps they're in pursuit of was one example. Robin might have others.
All right. Senator Whitsitt.
Chair Berger, I move Senate Bill 178 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Whitsitt moves Senate Bill 178 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on this bill? If not, clerk, please call the roll.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Zaski?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Whitsitt?
Aye.
Chair Berger?
Aye. All right. And who would like to carry this one?
I'll do that,
all right.
Madam Chair.
Senator Przanski. Now, Senate Bill 448, I don't know if all of you were here, but it is not ready. They are going to be coming back with amendments. And I'm going to move to Senate Bill 78. We'll open a work session for purposes of discussion, but I do not intend to move that bill to the floor today, but I am going to open a work session, all right, on Senate Bill 78.
Madam Chair, members, Senate Bill 78 is the measure that requires drivers to submit accident reports to the Department of Transportation, requires the department to make accident forms available upon request through police departments, sheriff's offices, and other suitable agencies. We have received a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal on the measure.
I wonder, Robin, if I could get you to come back. There was a committee, you remember, there was some discussion and concern about this, and I think that we need some further clarification on it.
Okay.
One is that does this eliminate the report to the police?
Madam Chair, I haven't been able to determine that you have to file a police report. If there's been a fatality or an injury, police are called and they investigate and they file a report, which they then forward to DMV, and we use that report in a comparative way. And that's actually how we find out if somebody hasn't filed a report. We get something from the police at DMV and we're like, hey, we don't have anything that corresponds with this, and we send out letters basically telling the person that their driving privileges are going to be suspended. So the short answer is no, and that was a long explanation that preceded that.
I guess my other question is, if I want to report to the police and then I can report to DMV as well, what difference does it make to anybody? Or if I just report to the police, as it is now, without a change in the law?
Madam Chair, currently you are required to report to DMV within 72 hours. I can't find a requirement for you to report your accident to the police unless there's been a fatality or a severe injury. And they are then called to the scene. So you are currently required to report to DMV within 72 hours of the accident if certain criteria are met. And that would be that either the owner or the driver of either vehicle sustained a minimum of $1,500 in damage, if one of the vehicles had to be towed, if there was a fatality, if there was an injury. Those are the types of criteria that are now set in statute that would require you to report to DMV within 72 hours. We aren't changing any of that, any of the reporting requirements. They're maintained.
Other questions? Senator Metzger.
Just a comment, and I see Mr. Powell is here, I think, can provide some insight on this, because this is my concern, was that, again, and hopefully John will ask him to come up, Madam Chair, and give us some insight on this. I think Ms. Freeman is correct in terms of reporting to DMV, but historically that has been through, those forms have been available by going to the local police or sheriff's office. And, you know, and they forward them on to the Department of Motor Vehicles. They have a record then, and they report them on to DMV. And my only question, as I raised then, and maybe Mr. Powell can provide some insight, is that, and this isn't a statutory requirement, I just want to make sure that our insurance carriers, and I did review my policy, and it did say, you know, before you make a claim, and it says, you know, have you filed a police report? It doesn't say a DMV. I just want to make sure that we, a year or two later, that I don't get a constituent who says, I got denied my insurance coverage because I didn't do this, and they said a DMV report is not the same as the police report, and the government can do what they want to do, but you're insured by us, and we have different language. That's all. I just want to make sure everybody was consistent, and maybe that's not a problem, but I just didn't want to do that without making sure that the insurance industry would say, yeah, that would qualify for the limitations of your policies, and that's all my only concern.
That's a good question, and I invite John Powell to the table to clarify that for us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is John Powell, representing State Farm Insurance Companies. Madam Chair, and Senator Metzger asked me yesterday about this issue, and I had our claims attorneys look into the contract for the number instances in which an insured is required under the contract to make a police report, which notifying the police in a that capacity would be different than the Department of Motor Vehicle report, in that you're notifying them in this instance of one of two things. Your car's either been stolen. In one instance, you're required to report that to the police if you're going to make a claim under the physical damage portion of your policy to recover the car. That is obviously there to prevent fraud, quite frankly. Secondly, if you're hit by a hit-and-run driver or a phantom driver, and it's the same thing. The insured is asked to repair your car and say, well, somebody just ran by and hit me and took off. Those are the two instances. In addition to that, there's case law which says, notwithstanding those contractual requirements, it is not a defense for an insurance company to come in and say, we're not going to pay your claim because you didn't call the police. So in essence, there is a requirement in the contract to do that, but the courts have held that notwithstanding that requirement, that is not a defense against the insurance company being required to pay that claim. So the report, while if you took the report into the police and say, here's a report, I was hit by a hit-and-run driver, you'd be doing both things there. But if you just took the DMV report in and dropped it on their desk, they would meet their responsibilities by putting it in an envelope and sending it, because ultimately it's supposed to end up at their headquarters for the reasons they collect that kind of data, which primary use is to find out where accidents are happening and how dangerous intersections are and what kind of street improvements and those sorts of things need to be made as well. I don't think this bill interferes with that. With the insurance contract, this is our conclusion.
All right. Thank you. Any questions, John? Senator Metzger is resting.
Just want to thank you, Mr. Powell, and I feel comforted by your comments. Although, you know, I did note that, yeah, it does say that, but the courts have held, you know, so that still makes me a little bit nervous that that if it isn't in the contract, that you have to actually, in some cases, make that case. I guess I would only say, Ms. Friedman, and Mr. Powell, of course, just represents one company. It happens to be the company that I am with, State Farm. And so there's a lot of other companies out there as well. I think it would be, I'd be willing to support the bill. I understand from a streamlining standpoint why this is important. So that's not the issue. But I think it would be incumbent upon the department, and I would ask a commitment from the department, that as this, if this law takes effect, that they will communicate either through the insurance division, DCDS, to insurance carriers about the change in the reporting statute so that the insurance carriers are aware of the language and the reporting requirements that the state has. So they might consider that in terms of adjusting whatever language is necessary to conform to our law rather than find out, well, you know, we didn't know anything about it. And if the department would ensure that this information is conveyed to those carriers who do business in the state of Oregon, I would feel a lot better about that.
Right. Madam Chair, I might add one other point of clarification. If you have an insurance claim, and a claim form is going to ask you if you filed a police report, not indicating that it's a requirement, but they want to know in adjudicating that claim if there's a question of fault, if, in fact, police were involved. And that's the reason why they would ask you for that information. It wouldn't be because the adjudication of that claim depended on that. They just want to know if police came to the scene. They want to know whether there's a report somewhere that would be a public record that they could use in adjudicating claims. Thank you.
Thank you.
I sent it to staff.
Thank you. Just a question. Did we have any comment from any of the police agencies, city, county, on this bill, if they support, oppose, think this is a good idea, bad idea?
There was a question posed. I see that John Powell has come back, so he might want to comment on that.
Madam Chair, Senator Starr, one of my clients is the Sheriff's Association. We did look at the bill, and I talked to Robin about it. And Robin assures me that people who do want to bring their accident reports down to the police agency or the sheriff's office, they could still forward them on. And in some cases, people do that. They'll just bring them in and say, what do I do with this? And they say, well, you send them in. And sometimes it's a traumatic time for people, that sort of thing. So they will go ahead and just send them in for them. So we didn't have a problem with being eliminated from the statute.
Madam Chair, so it sounds like, though, that the sheriff's office will still accommodate a person that's involved in an accident to forward the report to the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Yes.
So in some respects, I'm trying to figure out what the bill is trying to solve.
Madam Chair, Senator Starr, the forms will be printed so that the public will hopefully be in time realize that they need to send those reports directly to DMV. And the intent of this bill is sometimes we don't get those reports from law enforcement. They are very busy. We are streamlining their efforts. We're saving them some work. And so if you get a letter saying that your license is going to be suspended and you've filled out this report, you've taken it to law enforcement, and then DMV still didn't get it, we think over time that the public will then start fill out the report and then send it to DMV directly, and that will benefit DMV, the customer, and law enforcement. So that's our intent. We'll see how it works. And also, I wanted to add, the forms are still going to be available in the law enforcement agencies. They just won't be the conduit that they have been in the past, but the forms will still be there.
You will see the form.
Yes, and Madam Chair, Senator Metzger, we will certainly make sure that DCBS has notice of these changes.
I think that I believe that the committee is much more comfortable with the bill. I just don't want anyone to think that they are required or that they are prevented from giving an accident report to the police. I have to be honest with you. I would be one that would probably do a duplicate. I would simply, because of just my own pattern of knowing that police reports are accepted there for accidents if there's an accident involved. So I just don't want anybody to think that they can't go to the law enforcement. But this does require, and of course, obviously you feel that you want to be sure that you have all of the accident reports, which I take by your testimony that you do not feel now that you are receiving all accident reports.
Madam Chair, that's correct. We do not want to be suspending people's driving privileges because we haven't received their report when they submitted those to law enforcement, and we do not want to be charging those people $75 to reinstate those privileges if they miss the deadline for getting us that report. So this is a good bill.
All right. Thank you very much, Robin. We are in work session. Senator Whitsitt.
Okay, Shepherd, I move Senate Bill 78 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Whitsitt moves Senate Bill 78 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Brzezinski?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Whitsitt?
Aye.
Chair Berger?
Aye. Who would like to carry this? All right, Senator Whitsitt. Very good. Thank you very much for being cooperative. Committee, I believe that we have taken everything on our agenda today and worked through it. I would just remind you that on February the 21st and the 23rd and the 28th, possibly, we will be taking public hearings on Connect Oregon. And we also have the highway cost allocation next week, and we have Earl Blumenauer.
Meeting room 50 jointly with the House. Both days next week.
Okay, both days next week. That's right. Both days next week we will meet in room 50 with the joint House committee. So that's good. That will be very, very good. Some of them are not going to be able to stay for the Connect Oregon, but I have invited also our subcommittee on transportation and economic development to attend any of the Oregon Connection bills that they possibly can. So, Senator Starr?
Just a question on process. Are we permitted to do committee bill introduction at this point at all? Is that at the discretion of the Senate President?
Madam Chair, Senator Starr, all bill introductions at this point must go through the Rules Committee. So they can still happen, but they have to go through rules.
Okay. I just have had a couple of issues that I think that, as the Transportation Committee, there's some issues federally as it relates to transportation. And whereas we're talking about intermodal transportation, I'm thinking primarily along the Columbia River, jetty issues that, and there's an Army Corps of Engineers budget issues that we really need to push for funding for the Army Corps so we can get these jetties repaired. I'll talk to staff about it and use the chair about this issue. I think it would be appropriate for us to memorialize to our delegation and again shine a little bit of
I'd be very open to that kind of discussion and conversation.
Great, thank you.
Yes.
Madam Chair, if we can follow up on Senator Starr's question. Judith, is it your understanding that that includes priority bills? Like we have our priority bills. Would they go through the state? Secretary of the Senate?
Madam Chair, Senator Brzezinski, I believe the priority bills, and I will double check for you, but I believe that those can be dropped individually by the members at the Secretary of the Senate's desk. If you're using your own priority bill, but I will certainly triple check myself on that.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's my, just want to make sure.
Sure. All right. So if there's no other business to come before this body, I'll call the meeting adjourned.
Thank you.